We could all stand at this time. It is an honor and a privilege to introduce our special guest couple tonight. The Smith family is no stranger by any means to Calvary Gospel Church. Papa Smith down there, Grandma Smith. So it's a real honor to introduce Benjamin and Victoria. They've grown up on the missions field. We've watched him grow up and grow out. And he's not little Benjamin anymore, but it's an honor to have you here, Benjamin, and your wife, and God bless you, and you can go ahead and come on out here, bro.
Love you, man. Love you too. Can we do that for Jesus tonight? He truly is alone and worthy, and he deserves all the praise. Amen. Hallelujah. But you could be seated tonight. It's exciting to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? I tell you what, I hope you all came expecting tonight. Because when you come expecting, God has to move. So good to be here with Pastor Grant. Good to growing up under Pastor Grant has always been a wonderful blessing and treat for me. You know, he's traveled all over and so many people know who he is, but I get to say I grew up in that church. So it's exciting to be here tonight. God is doing great things in the nation of Antigua. My father reminded me last week, on last Sunday, we just had one person baptized and filled. So God is doing great things there. But the awesome thing is the week before that, we had a young man who has family in Antigua, who's not even from Antigua or lives in Antigua. He actually lives on our sister island, the nation of Barbuda, which is about 27 miles away. He came over, happened to come in church, and God filled him, and we baptized him as well. So God is even doing far-stretching miracles, even outside the nation of Antigua, because of what's happening in the nation. One other quick update. I know when my father came, we had reached about one in every 56 on the street. But you know, even though we're up here, they're still working down there. Amen? You know, when we left, I got to spend a lot of time on Tuesday night, I think it was, me and my wife got to spend a lot of time with the young people, and we kind of had like a youth night. And what really touched me is they sent us out, you know, we're coming here to raise support to go back. But they said, you're not going to raise support, you're going to be missionaries. So could you do me a favor tonight? I hope the recording is in the back. On the count of three, can you just say thank you, Antigua, for sending missionaries so we can play that for them? All right, one, two, three.
Thank you, Antigua.
And thank you. God has truly been wonderful. We just got back from the state of Iowa where we had a sectional rally. God did a number of miracles right in that service. See, you don't even have to wait for God to move. If you have a need, you just call on his name and God can move. So with that note, I would ask if we could just bow our heads for a second. My grandfather wanted to be here tonight, but he had stepped on a nail a while ago and we thought it was healing, but apparently it went all the way in to puncture the bone a little bit. And they had to get in there, cut it out, and dig it out, and he just got his stitches taken out today. So if we could just say a short prayer, because see, with God, anything is possible. Even though he's not here tonight, God can go find him where he's at and do a miracle. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we bring this situation before you, God, because we know you are exceedingly able to do anything that we ask, God, as long as we come before you, believing in faith, God, we know you will answer. And right now I ask that your ministering angels be sent to do a miracle, not for our glory, God, but for yours, for a testimony of your love and of your kindness that you showed towards us, that even in sin, you still came down and died for us and loved us. And God, we thank you in your wonderful and precious name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I think we are going to show a short presentation of a youth camp. This is one of the many things me and my wife are blessed and privileged to help out in the nation of Antigua. Something we started last year, and now we're doing it every year because it's so awesome to see what God is doing in our young people. Amen. You know, I didn't want to embarrass him, but I'm going to. See, you know, often you call him Papa Smith or Pastor Smith, but see, in Antigua, we call him Bishop Smith. Because he kind of has like the 12 apostles of young men and young women that are willing to serve God at any price and any cost. Because see, that's where we need to get in our own life, to see God move. Because see, God can meet any need, he can pay any bill, and he can fix any situation. But in our own life, he must be first and foremost, and he must be on the throne. So I want to say thank you to our bishop for instilling that in our lives and all the young men and women of Antigua to carry Jesus to the highways and the byways. And I was telling you I had an update. And that update is we no longer have reached one in every 56, but we've now reached over one in every 40 right on the street. And I heard you're doing a great work on the street. So keep going to the streets because that's where it's at. God can do miracles in here, but when you read about Jesus, he was always doing miracles out there. So what's your excuse? Try Jesus out there. If we can play that presentation, you can see kind of a little bit of youth camp. We had lots of fun in Antigua doing youth camp this year. We started on Monday night with a bonfire, and we ended Saturday morning with a prayer meeting. And you're about to see, you know, like all great youth camps, I know all you are excited to go to youth camp. Right there you see it. We had a crazy food competition eating thing the last night, and there's me. I got wrangled into it. But it was very exciting, very kind of nasty. But the kids loved it, and we got to teach a good point and valuable lesson over it. There's some of our young men. There's Jake. He had to make a proclamation. There's our youth pastor, Geraldo Brown, preaching for our Youth Sunday. I'm not sure who that is, but he tends to preach in Antigua fairly often. There's Brother Bailey. Some of you might know him from Racine. He came down for our youth camp, and we had an awesome time. We got to see God come in and do many miracles. There's him and his wife and some of his young people. You see, during the afternoon, we had choir practice, and they would practice, and then they would sing in the evening service. Now, I don't know how many of you ladies like to cook, but we had to feed 30 young people with one stove, three meals a day. That's kind of what it looked like every meal. But they enjoyed it, we enjoyed it, we had a great time eating, but more importantly, God got to move. There's our youth choir I was telling you about singing. There's a few of the people. You're going to see a picture here coming up with Brother Bailey. I'm sorry, there's our youth activities in the afternoon. Some of them we played like cricket, as you see right there. We had a really fun time, but some of the guys missed when they were trying to bat. But it's okay. We just did it again, but see, sometimes you play a little too hard, and one of the guys broke the bat. So then we had to switch to soccer. And then most importantly, we came together for prayer. Be ready in the back. I want you to pause for a minute. See that gentleman right there kneeling down? It's his first service ever in church. And that you can't really see because our youth pastor's standing right there, but the gentleman praying for him is the name of Bronson Thompson. He's only 14 years old. He's been to Antigua one other time, but he always had a burden to go back and do a missions trip. So he worked hard, a 14-year-old kid, made phone calls, did what it takes to raise his own support to go back to Antigua. And he was down there for about 4 months. But he came there with not too much of a burden, but in search of a burden and in search of a need. And that was our last night of youth camp. And that gentleman came in, you see right there. And he reached over and they began to pray. And right in that service, God filled him with the Holy Ghost. See, it doesn't matter how many times you come to church. If you come expecting, God can do anything. So I hope you came expecting, if you can keep playing it for me. The young people from Racine taught us a game called Ninja. We had lots of fun. But apparently I got in trouble because I tied with the person from Racine and they didn't like that too much. And there's us playing dominoes. In Antigua, dominoes is kind of like a favorite pastime. Kind of like we play football in Wisconsin down there, they play dominoes. You can go to any street corner on any night of the year and you'll see someone playing dominoes. And there's us playing Ninja game that the Racine group taught us. But we had lots of fun. In Jesus. See, this week when you go to youth camp, don't be focused on how much fun you can have in games, but how much fun you can have in Jesus. There's our young people worshiping. That was the last night. I tell you what, it was so awesome that last night we couldn't even barely get it closed. There's Brother Bailey talking about the weights of the world and how they weigh you down. See, there's Bronson again, who I was telling you about. That was another night. He was teaching a Bible study right in the back of church. Church had just finished, and he had taught him a Bible study. That's little Laura right there. She got baptized and filled during youth camp. And there's some of our young people. And there's our group of young people. We get to see in 1 week. Hey, it's exciting. So don't let the sun go down. Prepare today to train your children to listen to His voice. And there's Pastor Harris. He will be one of our special guest speakers this year. Him and his son. Youth Camp 2011, our theme for this year is a time of calling for this generation. I want you to bear that in mind as you go to youth camp. What kind of calling God has placed on your life. Because there's something very powerful. We have Youth Sunday every second Sunday of the month. And there's something very powerful when our elders can train the young people and they in turn can lead to service. God delights in that. So I want to challenge you this week. Learn what God wants to do with your life. As you begin to seek His face, He will share it with you. No, He won't give it to you all at once, as Pastor Grant could probably attest to. And me and my wife can attest to that as well. But it's just here a little and there a little. Line upon line. Come on, quizzers. Amen. So just a little bit here and there, but He'll begin to show you what He has for your life. And I believe great things are going to happen with youth camp this year, even up here in Wisconsin and down in Antigua. But before we're done, my wife just wanted to come and share a short testimony. I tell you, it's exciting to be in the house of God. I tell you, I just have a joy about being here tonight. Do you?
Good night, church. It's so good to be here in Madison, Wisconsin. I was in Walmart the other day, and I just had to laugh because I saw cheese cozies, you know, for your cans of pop. And I was like, we are in Wisconsin. I wanted to share a little scripture with you. I was thinking about what I could tell you guys as traveling. And when we were in Iowa, this is to young people. Don't be afraid to share your testimony, because God had me tell my testimony, and sometimes I just don't like sharing what I've been through, but it saves lives. And many people come to the truth because of our testimony. So I have a scripture for you in Revelation 12:11, and it says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." So don't be afraid to share your testimony, because God will use you.
If you have your Bibles tonight, would you please turn to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 6, and I want to read a verse. And while you're finding there, I'm just going to share this with you. This morning I was reading my Bible, and it was in the book of Mark. I came across a scripture that kind of puzzled me a little bit, but it just proves how much our God loves us. It was talking about people that need a miracle. And you know it says if we pray believing, God will give us a miracle. And forgive me, I don't remember it right off the top of my head. But it did say, even if we doubted in our mind and we believed in our heart, God would still do a miracle. You know, you don't have to have the answers tonight, because God does. But we must believe in our heart that He is able, even if we doubt up here. In 2 Samuel chapter 6 in verse 23, it says, "Therefore, Micah, the daughter of Saul, had no children unto the day of her death." If you'd set down your Bibles and lift up your hands, I just want to pray one more time. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that You anoint my mind and my heart, anoint my lips to speak Your truth, God. And God, each and every situation in this place, I ask that You'd go right now into that situation. Put peace in that situation, oh God, to do a miracle in Jesus' name. God, anoint every person that is here at the sound of my voice, that they might receive all You have from Your word to give tonight. In Your precious and wonderful name, have Your way, God, in Jesus' name. You know, that sounds kind of like, you can be seated. That, for most people, you say, why on earth would you start off with a scripture like that? Because that's what my boss told me to do. You know, David was a man that loved God with all his heart. There's so many awesome things in the book of Psalms that David wrote. One thing that stuck out to me, it says, "The zeal of thine house has eaten me up." If the zeal of God's house has eaten you up, you should be so excited to be here tonight. There shouldn't be one frown on your face. There shouldn't be one crossed arm, because God is here. And wherever He is, that's where I want to be. I don't know about you, but that's where I want to be. And David had that principle in his life. Even with all his sin that he committed, he had a principle of loving God. And God did mighty things through David's life. That was the birthline of Jesus. Even through all the sin he committed, God still used him to bring our Savior into this world. I want you to think about that, because I believe there's someone out here tonight at the sound of my voice, that you bought the lie of the devil, that you're not worthy, you're not good enough, you're not able to do anything. But I want to tell you tonight, if a little 21-year-old boy from Lake Mills, Wisconsin, can travel all over the United States and halfway across the world to do missions work, and how many others from this church, what can you do if you just let the zeal of God's house eat you up? See, that scripture comes from an event that happened in the Bible when the Ark of the Covenant was brought back into the nation of Israel. And David was so excited, that boy pretty much danced his clothes right off. Now, I'm not telling you you have to dance your clothes off tonight, but that's how excited he was that the presence of God was back in the nation of Israel. Well, God changed that with the new covenant, and you now become the temple, and His Spirit can live inside of you. So let me place that challenge to you. What are you doing when the presence of God comes into your life? Are you dancing without control? Or are you just holding back, afraid of somebody and something? Well, I challenge you tonight, don't stand in the way of your miracle. God likes people that get excited about Him. You know, so often we get excited for worship, but we should get twice as excited for the Word, because that's God speaking into us. And see, that's how God can do a miracle. And it's exciting. I tell you, there's not a day I don't get to come to church. Me and my wife are so excited about church, we don't miss a day without doing a church activity. Some of you might have gotten a CD that our church put together. Monday night, we would work on that. Tuesday night, we would try and teach Bible studies. Wednesday night, we had church. Thursday night, we would teach more Bible studies. Friday, we would work with you. Saturday, we did outreach. Sunday was church. And we did it all over again. And when we missed a night, well, then we'd have the youth over. Why? Because there's something exciting when you invite God in to do a miracle. But you must be willing to sacrifice everything to let God move. Everything. Your friends, your family, your life, your money, your house, your car, it doesn't matter. Everything. Otherwise, truly, we're not worthy. I'm not worthy. You know, we go overseas, but I want you just to point at yourself for a minute and say, I'm a missionary, and God's given me a mission field. So why don't you give yourself a hand? You're all missionaries tonight. See, so often we put missionaries up on pedestals because of their sacrifice. But I believe we are all called to make that same sacrifice. When I look at the days of the early church, there was nobody really put up on a pedestal. I love Paul personally. I don't know about you, but he was my kind of guy. He was a sinner, but he was saved by grace because he obeyed the word of God. But you know, when you read Paul and his conversations with Timothy, it's kind of interesting how they progress. Because see, as Paul grew in God, he decreased in his life. First, we see Paul saying, I'm the least of the apostles. All right, well, he's still an apostle. That's still a high honor. Then we see, well, then he's the least of the church and the least of the brethren and all that good stuff. But at the last letter, and this is my favorite part, he says, I'm the chief of sinners. Because at that point in his walk with God, he had decreased so much, he wasn't even left in God's eyes, if you will. He is all totally and wholly focused on God, and his self was completely removed from the picture. Amen? Well, if we're promised an end time revival and a last day revival, great miracles, signs and wonders, even greater things, if you will, how are we decreasing to let God be God? See, tonight I want to talk about a demonstration of revival. But see, to have a demonstration of a move of God, there is going to be a sacrifice. There is going to be a place in your life where you come to an obedience with God. That you say, God, you're on the throne. Whether you want me to go to Lafayette or Antigua or anywhere in the world, I will go. Because that's where you have placed me. That's where you have called me. See, we're just here being missionaries. That's our home. Because that's where God placed us. See, you might not know or like where you're at right now, but that's your home. Because that's where God placed you. But are you utilizing your home? Or are you wasting that gift? Are you witnessing to your friends and to your family? Or are you wasting that gift? I want to challenge you tonight because we are promised an end time revival unlike none other. Like none other. And God will use somebody. But will he use you? And will he use me? I tell you, every day I wake up and I say, God, how can I be used today? Who can I reach today? What can I do? Because see, every day there's someone in need. Every day there's someone trying to commit suicide because they don't have God. They don't know God. But you do. And you come to this beautiful building, have very nice, comfortable pews to sit on, air conditioned, nice sound system, awesome worship leaders, even a good missionary or two that come through now and then. But what are you doing in your own life? Who are you reaching in your own life? You know, I heard about the awesome time you had on the streets. People got baptized. People got filled. But is that a once a week or once a month event? Or is that an everyday way of life? See, God didn't call us to be soul winners on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Saturday, Friday, Sunday. It doesn't matter. The heartbeat of God was to seek and to save that which was lost. So how can we choose to call ourselves the children of God if we are not infused with his DNA? Because see, whenever a child is born, it is infused with the DNA of its mother and its father. And as it grows, it has characteristics of its mother and father. But if we are to be the children of God, don't you think we should be infused with his DNA? And his desire and his DNA is infused with reaching the lost at any cost. See, we need to get a place in our life where we say, if it's his will, it's his bill. And if it's his way, he'll pay. You know, I wasn't going to share this tonight, but I really feel the boss said I should, so I'm going to. We need 200 people to partner with us for $10 a month. That's it. And that can allow us to go throughout the Caribbean to do outreach or work in Antigua or wherever God has for us. I leave that up to him and to my pastor. Just like God has something for you. You know, we only got about 60, 70 of those tonight. But we're leaving next Wednesday for a mission field. Because it's his will and it's his way. So guess what? I gave him the bill and I said, buddy, you're going to pay. You say, wow, that sounds braggadocious, a little bit of mean. How can you tell God to do something? Because I'm doing his will. I'm working for him. So we get to have a little bit of communication. And I get to say, I'll do this, now you do this. This person has a need, you meet their need. But see, so often we get so comfortable in our world, we're so afraid to go out there because what are they going to say? Oh no, what happens if they reject God? Well, they're not here anyway. It's already a no. Why not try and make it a yes? Maybe they have a need and you know the God that could fix that need. But you're so afraid because they might say no. They might swear at you. They might slam a door in your face. You know, there's over 6,000 promises in the Word of God. And I'll tell you what, I don't really feel I'm going to be satisfied till I get to experience every one of those promises. But that doesn't come from sitting on a pew or sitting at home. That comes from working every day, every day. Not secular, but spiritual. That's how you meet a great God. That's how you get into the Holy of Holies. You do a little work for the Master. So I challenge you, do some work. Watch what he'll do. Because the people that have the needs are out there. Most of them aren't in here. And you know what? Like I said about the promises, there's a promise in the Word of God that says you shall be hated. Hated of all nations for his name's sake. It's a promise. Is it one you're living by? Is it one I'm living by? Is it one my pastor's living by? It's so fun to have him. I can pick on him tonight. I know he won't get mad because I'll get disciplined later. Think about it, though. It's a promise from God. I tell you what, me and my wife go to the street almost every week if we can. Multiple times when we're in the store, when we're in the restaurant. And you know one of the most awesome things? I love when they slam the door in my face. Or tell me, no, I don't need God. Or you're stupid or ignorant. Or begin to swear and call me name. Because I'm living in a promise. I'm living in a promise. Can we say that? It's exciting when you live every day, every moment in a promise. There's no better place to be. But then again, it's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take dedication. It's going to take perseverance. But look at Stephen. He was stoned. And his face just began to glow because he was living in a promise of God. Are we? That's what it's going to take to be part of this end time revival. Every day must be a promise. Every day must be by faith. The Bible says we are to walk by faith and not by sight. So why are we relying on what's in the checkbook? Why are we relying on the prognosis of a doctor who's only a practicing physician? He's not the great physician. He doesn't know what's really going to happen. He just makes a guess, writes you a bill, collects some money, and hopes it works. But I know a God that made you, that can fix you, that can do anything. But we must get the life of a promise, where we live in a promise, we walk in a promise. See, I read a story in the Bible of two spies that went to the nation of Jericho. Things didn't go too good for them. King's chasing them. They didn't know what was going to happen. Out of all the places they picked to hide out, a harlot's house. I don't know if that would have been my choice, but I truly believe it was God's choice because God wanted to do a miracle. But how could God do a miracle unless they were willing to go? Think about it. God's not just going to show up and do a miracle for someone unless there's someone interceding on their behalf, unless there's someone going on their behalf. God wanted to do a miracle in Jericho. God wanted to save her household so she could be added in to God's line. I tell you, God had some great people. He really did. But how did they escape that city that night? By a red cord let down through a window, which isn't bad. The cover of night, red cord, okay, I understand. Nobody seen probably what happened. That's how they got away. But here's the promise. Leave that red cord in the window till we come back. Don't you think some people in the city might have been wondering why in the world there's this red cord hanging in the window? Yeah, it's right on the wall. Everybody that came into the city could see the red cord in the window. It was not a hidden thing. It was not something did in secret. I'm sure maybe the king's men probably showed up and tried to tell her to take it down. But she had to do what she had to do, pray and refuse until she could keep this red cord in the window. Because her promise was if that cord stayed, she got a miracle. Her family got saved from utter destruction. Out of all the people in Jericho, it was only those inside her house that got saved. Because she looked a little different. she acted a little different. She wasn't afraid to be called names, to be called crazy. You know, it kind of reminds me of a man named Moses. He was such a coward, they had to get a spokesman for him. But he still set a whole nation free because he wasn't afraid to obey the voice of God. But what about me when I go into the store and God says, hey, go speak to that person. Go share something with them. And I say, not them, God. They don't want what I got. They're going to laugh at me and call me crazy. Anybody been there? I have. You know, I've walked away from some of them. I'm going to be real honest. Not I have, and I'm sure probably some of you have too. Because we are afraid in our spirit of what they might say to us, what they might do. But Rahab wasn't. Moses wasn't. Paul wasn't. Every page of the Bible has somebody that wasn't afraid. When you go to heaven, it says, scarcely the righteous. Those that aren't afraid. But that's how you get into revival. That's how you get into a move of God where anything can happen. When you come to God and say, God, no matter what you tell me to do, no matter how crazy it sounds, no matter how stupid it sounds, I'm going to go. I'm going to be a part. You think 13 years ago, I ever thought I'd be sent out from Antigua as a missionary? No, I had a bitter attitude. I didn't want to be there. Take me away from Walmart and McDonald's. I tell you what, little kids like those places. I liked them too. Go to a country where I can't get anything, live off a budget, get one little piece of bread and one piece of meat and one piece of lettuce a meal. And then Bible studies would come and they would get two and you still only got one because it wasn't in the budget. Wasn't fun. But there was a promise in it. And you know, at that time, I didn't see the promise. I wasn't too happy to be there. I kind of rebelled a little bit. I'll leave that for another message. But you know what? I kept persevering. I kept enduring. Sure, I didn't fit in. The nation's predominantly black. I'm white. Do the math. I stick out like a sore thumb. Even in the middle, let me tell you a little secret about Antigua. They wear very dark clothing at night. You can hit these people on the side of the road because you can't see them. Well, even if I wear dark clothing, I'm still going to glow in the dark. You don't fit in. They called you names. But let me share an interesting revelation of that. When I was questioning my calling and questioning God, that's when they would make fun of me. That's when they would call me names. But when I understood my calling and began to live in boldness, they stopped making fun and started asking what's different. So are you going to let them make fun of you? Or are you going to start living in your calling and see the revival that God can do at your hand? Not at pastor's hand. Amen? God bless our shepherds, but shepherds don't make sheep, people. Sheep make sheep. Doesn't take a college education to figure that one out. Fine, let me change that. A farmer doesn't make cows. Cows make cows. Amen? We're in a dairy state. I'll change it. So let's go out and make some cows, can we? Anybody excited to see what God is doing? I tell you what, every service we should be able to come and see miracles done. But sometimes we're going to have to leave a red cord in the window. Sometimes we're going to have to act a little different. Might not always fit in. God knows. God knows right where you're at every second of every hour of every day. You don't think he hasn't put you there for a reason? Think again. You know, as long as I got the mic and I can say anything I want, I'll be very transparent tonight. I once worked a job in Antigua at the place called Automotive Art. Horrible place to work. I don't recommend it to anybody. But I will recommend that they always paid you on time, which is a rare thing to say in Antigua. And it was a good place to work. Just the people that were there weren't too good to work with. A lot of them had a bad attitude. Swore a lot. Always would go out and party and drink. I didn't fit in. So I was uncomfortable. But then I said, you know what? Maybe if I just live what the book says, instead of me being uncomfortable, they would be uncomfortable. So what I had to lose, I already didn't like it. I mean, think about something. I don't know if any of you know this. In Antigua, we don't have a 40-hour work week. God bless you those that do. Our short weeks were 54 hours. Our long weeks were 65 hours. No overtime. It wasn't go 40-hour work week, then have fun, then come to church. I got 2 Saturdays off a month, plus Sundays. And Sunday, I was all busy every day with church. So on my 2 Saturdays, I slept all day. Had to catch up for all the times I'd miss. I'd get up around 6 o'clock so I could try and pray for a minute, get to work, and I wouldn't get home till after 6 o'clock every single day, except my 2 Saturdays and Sundays. But you know what? God had to change me first before he could change my workplace. It wasn't God changed the workplace and he changed me. He changed me, then he changed the workplace. So I changed my attitude and said, you know what? I can be happy here if I let God lead me. So guess what? I began to get happy. And they began to think I was crazy. Because none of them were happy. Because they didn't know God. Sure, some of them claimed to, but they didn't know him. I did. But they didn't know that. Then they began to find that out. And you know what? I'll make a real long story short. Just after me and my wife got married back in September, I went back because I was trying to seek a part-time job because I wasn't sure whether or not we were supposed to do full-time missions or work to raise our budget, because our whole first year on the mission field, we paid for it. Nobody else. We did, because God provided, because we were in his will. But I went in there, and if you know anything about this man, some of you might have heard me talk about him before. There's kind of 2 factions in Antigua. One controls all the industrial side. The other one controls all the luxury. This man controlled all the luxury. He owned half the major companies on the island. And when I went back, he had just bought Frito-Lay for the nation of Antigua. He controlled the whole distributorship for that island. So I walk into his office and say, hey, boss, can I have a job part-time? He said, no, but if you'll work part-time, I'll put you in charge of Frito-Lay. You can run the company. No contract, no nothing. Hands down, you're in control. We'll just split the cut at the end of the month. Sounds kind of nice, doesn't it? Anybody want to work there? Come on, be honest, people. We're in church. I don't want to have an altar call for everybody lying in service. I mean, it's a top 5% earning company in the nation of Antigua. It's a nice job. But guess what? I had to work long weeks. Couldn't be faithful to church like I wanted to be. So guess what I had to say? No, thank you. And trust in God. But guess what? We never went hungry. Ramen noodles got to taste very good, but we never went hungry. But you know what? That's because we lived in another promise from God. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice. Not you, not them, but I will rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because every second of every minute of every hour of every day is a gift. How are you investing your gift? Are you wasting it or are you investing it? I'm so glad my grandma's here tonight because now I get to pick on her. I got a whole royal family. I can just take my pick. She taught me to be an investor. So I used what she taught me. I invested what God gave me. And he began to do many signs, miracles, and wonders because that's what his word promised. You think I'm anybody special? No, but I have a promise that I can lay my hands on the sick and I shall. Not I might, not maybe, not if God's in a good mood, but I shall. Sometimes we need to change our attitude to a shall mentality because that's the God of the Bible, not a maybe God, not a can be sometimes. But guess why he's a can be sometimes in your life? Because that's how you treat him. But when you take him out of the box, take him off the shelf, he can be a shall every time, all the time, Monday through Sunday. Midnight through midnight, God never closes. He never has a holiday because you're his priority. But are you his? And is he yours? Because he has put you first. That's why he died for you. But now that he's invested in you, how are you reinvesting that gift? See, a great, great prophecy, and I was talking to Pastor Grant about this before service, went forth not too long ago. Man of God got up, said God showed him that there was many ministers in this church. You have a vision to shake your world, to reach your county. But that's not going to happen by the farmer. That's going to happen by the cows. Making cows. That's how you grow a farm. But what are we doing with what that great man of God has invested in us? He's prayed countless hours for you. He's spent his life ministering to you to build what you enjoy. Are you just sitting and holding on to that investment, or are you reinvesting your gift? You know, this might not be the fun type of preaching to hear, but I enjoy it because God gives blessings and miracles from this type of preaching. This is how you get your miracle. Not just talk about the person up the road or down the street or across the country that got a miracle. This is how you get your miracle. See, if you look in the Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 27, God gives a whole list of commands. A whole list. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. Most people see that part, shut the book, and say, I'm done reading. But if you press on a little bit farther to Deuteronomy chapter 28, he begins to bless this and bless that and bless this and bless that. But sometimes you got to go through a little hell to get a miracle. Sometimes there's going to be a little water and fire at the end of your road to get a miracle. You think Pastor wanted to fall? You think he wanted to get hurt and have to go to the hospital? But guess what? He's up and he's here tonight. He got a miracle. Now he has another testimony to share. And what did he do? He shared it with all of you. Now you can share it with someone else. Maybe you say you don't have a testimony. Use someone else until you realize God has given you your own. See, I should be blind, dead, and crippled right now, but I'm not. That's my testimony. I didn't realize it when it first happened either, but as I began to walk in God, he said, look, you should have died this time. You should have been blind that time. You should have been crippled that time, but I'm still here walking today. I can see today and I'm not dead. But he's done the same thing for you. Remember what I said? I'm nobody special. I'm the chief of sinners. But we need to get that mentality in our life. I'm nobody special, but I know a God who everything revolves around him. And I want to share this with you. When you say, I'm in God's will, and you're getting discouraged because it doesn't seem to be going right, remember this story. See, I'll give you my testimony until you get your own. Back in January, I was helping with a young little boy by the name of Keeney. You've seen him in my father's presentation. He had pink eye. Now, there's three types of pink eye: bacterial, allergic, and viral. Bacteria, you just put little eye drops, it's gone. Allergies, generally, they give you medicine or it just clears up. But viral, you just have to wait it out. There's no cure for it. Nothing you can do but pray. Well, guess what? I got it from helping a child. The word of God says, suffer little children to come unto me. I was trying to live in a promise. I was trying to work with children. But guess what? I caught that pink eye. I tried to wash my hand. I still caught it, and I caught it in my right eye. And I began to pray. God didn't heal me. In fact, I began to lose vision in this eye. And then I finally was starting to get better after 2 weeks, and I got hit with a severe flu and put me back in bed for another 2 weeks. I was in bed the whole month of January. Now I'm a pretty active person. But most days in January, I was lucky if I could even get up, or I shouldn't say lucky, blessed, if I could get up more than 3 hours a day. I never missed church for anything. But there was one Sunday morning, I had to call my pastor. It's a long-distance phone call to where we live to him. It's just right across the wall. And I had to call him, and I said, Pastor, pray for me. I truly... Some of you get to call in, Pastor. I can't. I live next door to Pastor. There's no faking phone calls here, people. I mean, you say you're sick, well, we'll come and anoint you. God will heal you. You're coming to church. There's something when, Roy, we can relate. When your father's a pastor, you can't get away with anything because the Holy Ghost is a tattletale. You might fool him, God won't. I had to miss church that morning. I couldn't even get out of bed. But here's another blessing. We live real close to the church, so I just opened the window and I had church in bed. Sometimes when you can't get to God, God will come to you. I couldn't even get, it's not a matter of being so sick, I couldn't even get out of bed. Couldn't even move. But guess what? We prayed, and that night I made it to church. But guess what? God still didn't heal my eye. I still couldn't see. By the time this was done, I couldn't even see an object this close to my face. Everything looked like a water painting, just distorted. Abstract art. That's why I think it's worthless. You can't see nothing out of it anyway. So I couldn't see nothing out of my eye but abstract art. I tell you, I should have sold my eye. We could have had support for years. Said, do you want an eye? She's abstract art every time. Always faithful. I mean, I'm being real serious. I couldn't even see this close to my hand. Everything was blurry and just a mix of colors. Well, I had to preach one of those services before I left. My eye wasn't even healed. And I was just praying. I said, God, if you want a one-eyed preacher, that's what you got. But I didn't realize when you have only one eye, it places a lot of strain on that eye. And see, this is why I began to pray so I could preach without notes like I am today. It's awesome. It's a freedom, not confined. But I had to begin to pray that real hard because I would look down at my paper where I had my scriptures and I couldn't read the scriptures. I'm sitting there and I'm squinting and I'm trying to talk about a God that is able. And I'm like, come on, I can't read the scripture that says God is able. I mean, you quizzers, keep it up. Someday you might need it. I wasn't a quizzer. I didn't memorize all that word. Now, I heard a lot of it, but I didn't memorize it. So I'm sitting there trying to read, doing whatever I can, wiping my eye, giving the distraction, saying, let's just praise God for a minute, trying to get my next scripture. But I read about a man named Job. He had a lot worse than I did. He never cursed God and still got a Bible study. So I said, I'm definitely going to praise God. I don't just want to not curse him. I don't want a Bible study from God because that'd be dangerous. That's power showing up. Bam. Boy, you're it. Do it. But you know what? I just began to pray every day. And I said, God, if this is your will, let it be done. I'm not going to waste my money, do anything stupid. I'm just going to pray because that's where it's at. They don't know what they're doing. They just practice and hope they get it right. If there's any medical person here, I love you. Keep serving God. I'm not trying to offend you. I'm just talking about me. I'm preaching to myself. So don't get offended. This is all about me right now. I'm just preaching to myself. But it didn't really get much better. This was the end of January. We had to come back in February to start raising support because the funds were running out. Still couldn't see. Had all these churches scheduled to preach, which is only a miracle of God in that, too. And how are you going to go to him and tell him, I can't preach, I can't even read the Word of God? Hi. Think about it. Two hardest things for a preacher, one that can't see and one that can't speak. Well, I couldn't see. But you know what? I said, all right, God, you line these churches up for a reason. Because here am I, that half of them don't even know really who I am. A new missionary on the field, the guy's only 21. He ain't been proven. He ain't been tested. Why in the world should I let him come preach behind my pulpit? Well, I guess God spoke to him. I got behind the pulpit. But here's what I want to say. We came back to the States in February, and I still couldn't see too good. It was starting to get better, but not enough to read or not enough to really see. And it was by my birthday in March. I finally could see again. So from January till March, I just had to keep praying. It wasn't bam, you got your miracle, but day by day, here a little and there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. That's how God works. See, he's taking you from where you're at to where you're going by line upon line. See, you've had to go through this to understand this. You've had to go through this to understand this. You're going through what you have to go through right now to understand what God wants you to do down here. See, it's not just come to church and we'll pray for you. Hey, where are you at? I'll come over. I'll pray for you right now. Let's pray on the phone. Let's see God do a miracle. I don't know about you, but I'm not satisfied with some Sunday God. I want a God that will show up every day. I want a God that will do a miracle for me because I matter to Him. But what will you be satisfied? Will you be satisfied with your Sunday God or a God of every day? And I'm getting very close to closing. So you can get ready to rush the altar and repent. God will do a miracle. It's okay. If He did one for me, He can do one for anybody. But we have to come to a place of sacrifice. You know, I won't preach it here because some of you probably aren't ready to receive it yet. But you come see me and my wife afterwards if you're ready to go to the next step in the ministry, to be in a place to demonstrate revival. And we'll share some things with you. You would be amazed what this world has done and how they have lied to you to get you to partake in their sin. God does not desire you to be full of sin. The Bible says for lack of knowledge, people perish. Well, we need to get to a place where every day we're studying the Word. Every day we're praying to get closer to God. When God says don't go there, you don't go there. When God says don't eat that, you don't eat that. When God says don't wear it, you don't wear it. You say, well, God's a tough God. God's a hard God. I can't obey. Well, then sacrifice your promise. Sacrifice your miracle right now. But if you get to a place where you say, God, even if I have to go to Antigua and suffer in that hot, nice, wonderful weather, I'm going to go because that's where you've placed me. Even if I have to be the one that sticks out and suffer, I'll go. Because when you get into that promise, you're not suffering. You're the missionary. You're the one they're sending out because you're one of them. Some of you might not know this. I'm known as a limited edition Antiguan. They only made one like this. That's all the country could handle. But I'm still Antiguan in their eyes. See, most times the minister doesn't fit in to where he's called. So if you're struggling with the ministry and doing something for God, you're probably not going to fit in. That's for God's glory. That's for God's miracles. That's for God's power to show that God can do anything. Come on, somebody. A marine farmer, missionary, those don't match. In a country in Antigua, that doesn't match. You're probably not going to match your situation. That's so God can have the glory. So I want to challenge you tonight. The altar's open. If you want to go to another level in God, that God can do miracles, here's where it's at. Now, if you don't, you can stay in your seat. We'll pray over you from right where you're at. God can bless you. But if you're willing to sacrifice something to let God do miracles, I want you to begin to come right now. And God is going to place an anointing on your life like none other. You are going to be able to lay your hands on the sick. You are going to be able to prophesy in the situation. But it's going to cost you something. It may even cost you everything. But you'll know at the end of the day, you have a God who is real. You have a God who is able, and you have a God that can meet any situation. I serve a God that has no impossibilities because He conquered all. If you feel you have a possibility, He is where it's at. Whether it's at your home or your workplace or your school, God